Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
All right, it's time for us now to get into our next segment. We do have our guest, Sungai Masendeke, joining us on the line. Like I did say, that we are trying to work out a different way now of doing things. I'm in my own work makeshift studio, and our guest is coming through on that studio and a very different line. I don't know if she can hear me. Sungai, can you hear me?
I can hear you loud and clearly. Can you hear me?
I can. Thank you very much, ma'am. How are you doing today?
I am fantastic. How are you?
I am doing great, and I'm happy we're able finally to connect via this line, because we've been trying it during the week, and it was not working quite like the way I wanted to, but right now it's working perfectly well. I can hear you, and you can hear me. Let's get into it, shall we?
Absolutely. No better way to close off the week.
Absolutely. Indeed. So today we're talking about credit management and planning your credit and using what would you use for major goals. Planning your credit use for major. What is this, planning your credit use for major goals? I mean, you cannot be using credit for major goals unless we're talking about these major goals, like using credit to buy a car, to buy a house. But then again, I saw something that I thought I was going to ask you, Sungai, that are these goals like houses and cars really goals, because they are still asking you to pay for them? I came across something that says if you still have to pay for it and it doesn't pay you, it's still a liability. It's not a benefit to you. It's not something that you could ever claim to be something to be aspired to. Before we get into our conversation for today, just set that record straight, shall you?
Definitely. So if you remember our conversation on day one, we indicated that good kind of debt or credit is the credit that helps you to increase your net worth, or the credit that allows you to improve your earning capacity.
Right.
So if that credit fits one of those two criterion, for me, it's worth having. So let's start with the option of buying a home.
Right.
A home is probably one of the most expensive purchases you will ever have to undertake, but it's also capital intensive.
Okay.
So if you're buying a property for 2 million, most average South Africans don't have 2 million sitting in a trust fund or in a bank account that they can just go and buy that property for cash. So then it becomes important to go into a credit agreement with a credit provider so that they can be given that 2 million upfront, with the agreement that on an ongoing basis, you then pay off that debt until you fully own the property. So yes, you're right. To your second point, that property, when you look at your own balance sheet, sits as a liability for a very long time, up until the point where the value of the property keeps on increasing. And then there's that turning point where the value of the asset, the value of what you've put in, is now more than the debt you owe on the property.
Right.
So definitely, if your debt allows you to increase your net worth, if it allows you to increase your earnings capacity, it's worthwhile to put it as a utilization tool for wealth creation.
So it's still a liability for as long as you're paying for it.
That is correct. But the nice thing when you buy assets that increase in value, like a house, is that as the value of the house increases, as you keep on paying capital towards the debt repayment, your equity in the asset increases. Now, let me actually put this into very simple terms. If I purchase today a house for 1 million rand and I borrow 1 million rand, that means that my net worth is zero.
Right.
Okay. After 1 year of paying off that house, I will have put in some capital. That capital might be about 50,000, all right, which means that I now only owe 950,000 on the property.
Right.
But remember, it's still worth a million, meaning now I've got a net worth of 50,000. But in the meantime, if the house has appreciated from a million to 2 million,
right,
and that's a really, really, really great deal, it means my net worth is now at 1,050,000.
Right.
So the good thing to remember is if your asset is going to increase in value while your debt is reducing, that is the prime kind of asset you want to actually put on your balance sheet, because it means that you're becoming wealthier as your debt or your liability is reducing.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Let's get into our conversation for today. I derailed you there for a moment, but I appreciate that you accepted me doing that. So today we're talking about just that, planning your credit use for major goals, whether you're planning a dream vacation, starting a business, or buying a home. A credit can either be your best friend or your worst enemy. So we're going to be exploring how to make it an ally. So let's get into it, Sungai. How should someone prepare their credit profile before applying for a major loan?
If you remember from Monday, one of the things we indicated was that there are a few factors that impact your credit score, which is then looked at by these credit facilities in lending you money.
Right.
They look at the mix of debt you currently have. They'll look at the extent to which you utilize this debt. They'll look at any sort of repayment history that you might have on the debt.
Right.
They'll also look at things like how long you've had that debt for.
Mm-hmm.
So if you know for sure that you are going to be applying for a home loan, which is considered a major loan,
right,
in the next 6 to 12 months, clean up your house.
Okay.
Clean up your house. Tie any loose ends, meaning if you've got any unnecessary debt, get rid of it.
Right.
Remember, if you're applying for a home loan, they will only afford you up to 30% of your gross income as a monthly repayment or commitment towards the debt repayment. So if you're earning 60,000,
right,
all right, 30% of that means that they'll only allow you to take a mortgage where you are paying no more than 18,000 rand a month.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to have done your due diligence in terms of affordability, but you also make sure that you've got the room to take on that 18,000 a month if you apply for the credit. So one important thing you want to do is close out any small unnecessary debts that you may have.
Right.
Close those accounts. If you've got three credit cards, just have two credit cards or even one left.
Right.
If you are not paying on time, make sure you change the behavior. You're actually paying on time and in full on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
And another very, very, very important element to consider is that to have the kind of credit profile that will enable you to get debt, also have assets on your balance sheet.
Okay.
So it's not only about having a good credit score because you've got the Woolworths account, the Truworths account, the Foschini, the Markhams, and you're paying on time. Having assets, for example, an investment, show up as a regular payment on your credit profile
right.
is fabulous.
Okay.
So if you have an investment where it actually shows that on a monthly basis you're paying, it works brilliantly for your credit profile.
Mm-hmm.
If you show there that you've got a life policy as an example, and you're paying on time and in full, it works brilliantly. If you were thinking of lapsing your policies, this is not the time to do that because it shows that behavior of not being able to commit to repayments, and that definitely works against you. If you've got policies that have lapsed in the past, they definitely impact your overall credit report. So clean your house, make sure that you follow a correct budgeting procedure where you're not overspending. You can actually justify to the bank that you're a good money manager, you don't spend more than you earn, and that you've got enough disposable income to then fund the purchase of this major property.
Okay. Okay. So what's the best way to balance credit utilization across all multiple accounts?
So again, and I think I mentioned it yesterday or the day before, do not use more than 30% of your credit line facility.
Oh, yes, you did. Yeah.
All right. So if it's your credit card, the limit is 10,000. Don't borrow more than 3,000 rand.
Okay.
If your personal loan is with a limit of 100,000, don't use more than 30,000 rand. So if you can get yourself into the habit of using less than the 30%, you actually put yourself in a very, very strong position in terms of underutilizing credit. Because, like I said last time, if you have to continuously be using more than 30% of your debt to fund lifestyle or consumption behavior, that automatically means that you're living beyond your means. Now, no lender will want to put themselves in a precarious position where you won't be able to afford the funding or the repayment of that debt, because now on that 30% burden, they're adding another 20%. Remember, businesses are interested in you paying interest to them. So if they put you in a position where now you can't be paying that interest, that is definitely bad business for them.
Okay. And then there are these two good things that you touched on: paying your accounts or your debt on time and in full. And then there's the beautiful idea of saving. Which comes first as a priority? How do you determine whether to prioritize saving or to prioritize paying off debt?
I love your question because I am a huge, huge, huge fan for saving and investment. But most people already have some form of debt. And I always say you need to start killing two birds at the same time. Whilst you're getting rid of your debt, make sure you're putting aside some money into a emergency fund so that you don't get tempted to fall back on your credit card or personal loan or the lines of credit to bail you out on a rainy day. So it's a matter of actually trying to do both at the same time. But what is very important for me is the change in behavior that comes with that process. Remember, when you take out debt, it's normally to consumption, and it's normally because you want the instant gratification. Now you're teaching yourself a new behavior, you're teaching yourself new habits, which in this instance is saving, that prompts what we call delayed gratification. So effectively, you're trying to instigate change in behavior where you're moving from a person who was normally an instant gratification type of person to someone who actually appreciates the value of deferring consumption through savings and investment. So if, for example, you can afford to be putting aside 1,000 rand a month towards your debt, all right, you are supposed to be paying 1,000 rand. For starters, find in your budget at least 500 rand on a monthly basis that you can start putting aside into your emergency fund or rainy day fund. Because what this will do is it's helping you to reduce your debt, but at the same time, you're not increasing your capacity, that if something unforeseen happens, you're not falling back to the credit. You actually have a kitty you can use to live off when the crisis finds you.
And then what role does the emergency fund play in avoiding unnecessary credit use?
Sorry, come again?
What role does the emergency fund play in avoiding unnecessary credit use?
Okay, yes. So if I come back to the example that I gave, all right, your emergency fund becomes your lifeline, all right? But it's an inexpensive lifeline. If you consider the average interest rate on a credit card, it's not going to be less than 15% in most instances for an average individual. Here you are taking debt that costs you 15% every time you access it, all right? But what we're saying is if you now take money from an emergency fund, which is your saving, all right, you're not going to be penalized interest on the capital you're drawing from your own emergency fund. So it becomes very, very important to understand the cost of borrowing. Because when you understand how much it actually costs you to have that personal loan, how much it costs you to have that credit card, you'll start to think twice, because every single rand you're paying in the form of interest means you're not earning on that rand. You're paying someone else. So wouldn't it be better to start earning from someone else by having an investment, by having a saving, rather than having credit? But most importantly for me is the fact that once you have your emergency fund, it's a lifeline. You can use it instead of having to borrow from Peter to
put out the fires in your life at that particular point in time.
Right.
So emergency fund plays such a critical role in providing a buffer, providing a lifeline, providing a kitty that you can access instead of having to go back to debt every single time.
Right, right, right. And finally, how can proactive credit management support long-term financial goals?
So I'll start with a story, all right?
Okay.
I met this young lady. She had 3 kids at the time, and she was going through debt review.
Okay.
So remember, during the debt review process, you cannot take out any debt up until you are fully rehabilitated, and the recommended rehabilitation time is 5 years.
Right.
During that 5 years, because the family had grown and she wanted to purchase a home, she couldn't. Because remember, during the debt review process, there's a lock-in period and you're not allowed to apply for any new debt.
Mm.
And when I started probing to understand how did she end up in debt review, it came to light that she had had multiple credit cards, she had multiple personal loans, mm. she had taken out 2 motor vehicle loans. And now, as the family grew, the financial responsibilities were like, Sana, you didn't play those cards right.
Yeah.
Because now, school fees is competing with motor vehicle number 2's repayment.
Yeah.
All right. Mm. Diapers are fighting for the same amount of cash that you need to utilize for your credit card.
Mm.
And now you have to make a decision. Do you do the right thing and become a responsible parent, or do you finance the debt that you took out earlier on in life?
Mm.
And most parents will be like, I'd rather have my child with diapers and I'll deal with the credit card company later on. But then what that does is it means that you lock off the potential of growing your net worth, of owning owning a property earlier on in your career.
Right.
So it's so important to make sure that you are vigilant about your credit utilization in the first 5 years of working, because if you mess that up, it definitely has long-term consequences. It impacts your credit rating. It impacts your credit scores. It impacts your ability to actually get debt at a cheaper rate.
Hmm.
It impacts the terms you can also qualify for. It impacts the amount of debt that you can even apply for. And when you really need it, in that instance, that woman couldn't actually apply for it because she was already considered a bad debtor or a bad type of creditor.
Yeah.
So you want to make sure that when you start working, and I know a lot of financial institutions bombard you with credit line offerings, resist the temptation to have that.
Yeah.
Resist the temptation to take out debt. If you can't pay for it cash, don't get it. You might need it, you might want it, but if you can't afford it, you should not have it.
Yo, okay. All right. Hey, I tell you. All right, that's it. We're ending it right there. Thank you very much, madam. It's been a whirlwind of a learning curve for me this week. Thank you very much for your time. Looking forward to a time when you'll agree again to come and be our lecturer and we be your students on these matters. Until then, thank you very much and have a wonderful day. And happy Sabbath.
You have a wonderful day too.
Thank you very much, madam. All right, that's our guest this Friday afternoon, Tsungai Masendeke, talking to us about all these important things that we all need to understand and be cognizant of when we're talking about our finances. Ay, ay, ay.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.